And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. The gang is all back together again. It's been a while. It's been a while since the three of us have been on the show together, and that will be the case today. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Smyrna in Rutherford County. Willie Donick is holding fort over in
Hello.
East Nashville. And Chase McCabe.
East side.
East side represent. And over on the west side,
west
Chase
side?
McCabe is back from the beach.
I am. I'm nice and
has lived to tell it.
Yeah, I have. I wasn't sure what was going to get me first, the sunburn or COVID. But, you know, hey, I made it through both. And good to be back. Good to be here.
You look a little red, Chase. I do think maybe a little more sunscreen next time.
Well, here's the thing, though. I was I was trying to avoid the sunburn because I know how my Irish body works, and there was application, there was reapplication, there were touch ups. I mean, I was really on top of it, and I still got burned. So went with the 50, went with 30 in some spots, then up to 50. I just everything I tried, it just didn't work. Do they make an SPF 100? Maybe that's what I need.
I've always been told that from
they
everything
do. They do
I've
have
read, after 30, it doesn't matter. It's just all a number. It's just to make you feel good.
Right. Yeah,
that's
kind of what I think.
But once you get past the 30, it's all the same. Like, it's not really providing you anymore. It's just making you – it's just a comfort level. You see a higher number, you feel like it's more protection. Quite honestly, I'm looking at your video and knowing how we tan – us Irish folk, I don't think you're that bad.
I'm not on my face. My back, and I'm not going to tweet. I'll send you guys a picture of my back from a couple of days into the trip, and it was bad. My shoulders and, you know, kind of my upper arm, though, that's a little crispy this morning. But aloe is doing its job, and it'll look good here in a day or so. But, yeah, I know it's going to happen. I mean, I know I'm going to get burnt. It's a part of it. Now, my lower arms and my legs and everything, they're good. Everything's fine. It's nice tan, but there are going to be some burnt spots. My head is what burnt.
Yeah, because, you got to spray on top, man. Have to.
Yeah.
Your scalp will get fried.
Well, and as I've gotten older, there's not as much protection up there mm-hmm. as there used to be.
Yeah.
So that's something.
I read you.
Well, there's a little more than yours, Willie, but I know you understand. I know you definitely understand.
Wow, jabs. So. It took 2 minutes in.
Well,
3 minutes into the show.
It,
we already got a couple jabs.
I didn't mean it as a jab.
Good.
I mean, is it a jab if I'm just stating a fact?
No, I mean, no, I'm just saying a little.
It's actual and it's factual.
Just kind of, we don't all have Hal Gill hair, okay?
No.
We don't all have Hal Gill hair. When I saw him at the arena a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, the lettuce is looking good.
He's got a flow. He's got a flow. In fact, it was funny. Yesterday, our broadcast crew assembled the first time we assembled in a long time for the smash car, because they can't do a public smash car thing. So they had people donate to the Preds Foundation, and we represented all the people taking our turn. So my back is a little sore today from that sledgehammer, but Hal Gill was commenting on Kara Hammer's new hairdo, and we were like, what are you talking about? What about your hairdo? I mean, he's got, because the flow he's got going is definitely, like, if he threw the hat on, you would see, like, the locks coming out the side. You know, it's that look.
It'd look good under
sometimes
a helmet.
As a pitcher, you know, you kind of like to have the flow coming out the hair,
right,
coming out of the side of the hat. He would have that going.
Yeah, well, think about it under a hockey helmet. What that would
look
like.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, that's a key thing for a hockey player.
Now, where
you gotta choose whether you want the flow coming out the helmet for sure.
Okay, now I just pulled up because you mentioned Kara Hammer, that Kara has a new hairdo. So I see that, very summery. Looking good. Looking good, Hammer Time. So yeah, everybody's just feeling good. Darren,
yeah.
I you know, like I said yesterday when I called in as Chuck, you can just tell. You can just hear it through the radio that you have a good hair day. So that's good.
I got no complaints. I mean, look, when you get to my age, you're just thankful and counting your blessings. You have something to comb.
True.
You know,
no,
something
yeah.
to brush. True. Something to get cut. So I don't complain. I know it's gone the wrong way in color. Used to be a whole lot darker, but, you know, like I said, who am I to complain? I've got it, so I'm not going to complain. Could be worse. I mean, I guess you could say, well, you'd save money on haircuts. Yeah, but I'd rather go get haircuts, just yeah. me personally. One thing that I did take that happened to me on the beach trip, a little word of advice. And I don't, you know, you would think after all these years and all the times I've been burned to a crisp and just been, you know, ridiculously burned, that I would learn my lesson. And I felt like I had already turned that corner and was never looking back. But I did make a mistake in the recent beach trip. You get down there the first day and you're there late in the day, right? So you want to get a little bit of just, you know, everybody's excited. You want to get a little bit of beach time. And I'm like, we already had it set up where we would have the umbrellas and everything, you know, you rent them. And so they already had it set up for us for that day. And so I'm like, you know, I must probably spend, it's late in the day, I'm not going in the water, I'm just probably going to hang out under the umbrella and the chair. I'm not even going to be in the sun. So I didn't put any sunscreen on, none. And I'm like, it's late Ooh. In the day.
Ooh.
You know, I'm not really, I have no intentions of really even being out in it.
That's
and,
bad.
And you know, I got just absolutely fried. And I never realized it at all the entire day until the next day. And it was like, whoa, my feet. Because, yeah. you know, your feet never see the sun.
The
so
feet are the feet can I really get you.
Got creamed. My feet got crushed. And the whole week, they were an absolute hot mess because I got fried the first day and never realized it. I thought I was... You know, other under the umbrella, you know, every once in a while the sun shifts, your feet slide out there in the sun, right? You don't even really think about it. You know, you're not paying attention. Clearly it was out there long enough for them just to get toasted.
Yeah.
So,
you I've know, made that mistake before.
Don't think.
We all have. This is the other bad feeling, too, is when you think you're all right. You're like, I think I'm all right. I'm not too burnt. You know, you do that little thing. You jab your shoulder, top of your shoulder with your finger to see if it.
Right.
Reacts. And you're like, oh, I'm all right. And then you get in the shower a little later and it just hits you. You're like, oh.
Yeah, as soon as that
or sometimes it's
hits.
Not even until the next morning. The next morning. You're like, oh, it's tight back there.
Yeah.
Duh, I thought I was
all
right.
You guys now have the photo of what my back looked like. So there you go. Enjoy that.
Oh, you put it? Did you tweet it out or did you
no,
text it?
No, I texted it.
It's
I
disturbing.
I don't want to tweet this, but.
Ooh.
Ah,
oh, no.
ah.
Oh, yikes. And you've got, like, a stripage. I mean, you yeah. can,
were you
like
lying?
Letters
were you,
body.
Like, lying on your side
yeah,
next to a lawn chair or something? Like, what the?
I,
you have
I don't
you have
know.
A shape. Like, it goes from 0 to 100.
You have lightning bolts in your back.
You do.
I don't know. See, this is the thing
I
about
feel
me.
Like we need to put this out. I think people need to see this. This is okay. how not to do it.
Wow.
Okay. I'll tweet it out.
Did you put sunscreen on
yes.
your back?
What
yes.
the heck?
How's that
well,
possible?
Well, obviously you put like 100 on one side and 0 on the other side.
Or 1. Did you put oil up top and sunscreen on the bottom?
I get the weirdest sunburns, and this is another prime example of how that happened. I don't know how
There's
it
no way. You somebody that was not sober must have, you know, you must
well,
say, hey, can you get
good,
my back?
There's a good
can
chance
Can you get my
that.
Back?
Yeah.
And no, somebody that was not sober tried and missed 60% of your back is
yeah.
uncovered.
Yeah, or it just wow. I didn't reapply it. I think the back was I didn't reapply enough.
What? That, no, that
no,
is just
no,
a clear
no, that,
I fell
not,
asleep with nothing. You
yeah, that's
nothing
not there. Reapply. That's yeah, that's me going, yeah, first day, there's not much left in the day. I'm not going to be in the sun. I'm not putting anything on. And I got my feet. That's what my feet look like. Probably worse. But, yeah, that's no – you didn't apply. There's no sunscreen there.
Looks like you fell asleep right. on your stomach. Like
it's
on,
better
the,
not,
on
it,
the side. It's like that, on the side. You were sleeping on your right side.
That was early in the trip, too, so it's better now. I mean, it's a nice tan now, but I had to wear a shirt for a couple days.
You could see your arms got scuffed up, too.
Yeah.
Your right arm looks – oof. Yeah, if you get slapped, man, you would have been in pain.
Oh, somebody. I did. I did get slapped because somebody didn't realize that I had it, and they did the, hey, buddy, how you doing? And I was like, ah! It was not. It was not good. It was not good. So yeah, I'll tweet it out.
Wow. I just think the people need to see this. How not to do it.
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's about going back for a second one. I don't think it hit. I don't think you had the first one. Yeah, just from my experience.
I thought. Let's just say somebody was asked to do it and they did it, and or I thought they did it, and this was the result. So it was a
somebody played a mean joke,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, well, there you go.
This is bad.
Thought you guys
this is
would
ridiculous.
Thought Ouch. You guys would enjoy that.
Ouch.
Man.
All right, I feel
it
actually
is, it is tweeted.
It is out there, huh?
It is out. So enjoy.
Oof. Oh,
what'd
yeah.
I miss?
Oh,
what
yeah.
else
whoa,
I miss?
Whoa. Good news on the baseball front. According to ESPN, none of the Phillies players have tested positive for COVID-19.
That's huge.
Which that's good.
That's huge. Was,
because
you, know,
you were really worried about the chain reaction. The chain reaction is what could shut things down. So if it can be confined to one team, that's certainly not good news, but it's you know, maybe you could get past this and keep flowing.
Did they I
still say JJ Bleday is going to play a game here pretty soon.
But I did see that I think the Yankees Phillies it's been postponed again, is that right?
I think so. They can give a certain amount of ground. I think they want to make sure that the area that was inhabited by the Marlins in Philadelphia is secured
yeah.
before they have another game played there.
Yeah, so Tuesday's game has been postponed. And then the Marlins, I mean, are they gonna have a team? Like, what's?
I think they are. I mean, you got 60 players for a reason. So
total
is
17
it's
now.
Gonna, yeah, I just think they're going to have to deal with it, right? They're going to have to go next man up. They have to. They can't forfeit games. They have 60 players for a reason. It's just going to have to. They're signing players like, you know, Mike Foltynewicz, Carson Fulmer, the former Vanderbilt pitcher that got released. I mean, I think he's already been picked up by the Tigers, I think. But they're just going to have to piece it together. It's very unfortunate, but this is what they signed up for, right? There was this possibility from the get-go for all the teams. So they had to be ready for this.
Yeah, and you bring up Foltynewicz. I mean, that's just – it's a – it's an unfortunate thing with the Braves, but I mean, right after the game last night, it's like, hey,
what,
we can't.
What happened?
Do it.
What's the backstory there? Is there any
I don't
speculation
know.
Yet?
He got
something's going on there. There's no way that you have a bad start and you get DFA'd after
well,
one start.
But I mean, this is what I was kind of tweeting back and forth with Jared last night about this. You know that he said it was an overreaction, and maybe you can view it that way. But this goes back to last season. The first half of the season, he was garbage. I mean, he would walk out to the mound with a gas can. And just absolutely implode. And that's the problem is that he gets in a tight spot, he can't get out of it, and then he just blows up. And we saw that in the playoffs in Game 5 with him, that it just snowballs out of control and he can't get out of it. The year before, I mean, he was lights out. He was looking like he could be their ace. And he had some surgery and a slow spring training last year and then went to the minors. And when he came back from the minors at the middle of last season – he was good. He wasn't what
oh,
he was.
There's
but he was
no
good.
Question. There's no doubt that he can look great for five innings and then blow up in the sixth inning. When he's right, he can be as dominant as a lot of pitchers. I mean, he can reach that level. But that's one thing. But they knew that when he took the mound last night. It's not like he became a new guy, and then all of a sudden after the game they decide he's not worth it. I'm just wondering, is something going on behind the scenes?
Well, they were talking,
you know,
so,
his attitude or is his approach. Did he tick somebody off? Something
it's
has
not
to
that.
Be going on beyond his performance on the mound last night.
It's something with him. Because I was driving through Atlanta when our buddy Chris Domino was doing the pregame show there on 680. So I got to listen to all of that as I drove through Atlanta before the game last night, and they were talking about him even before he was making the start of how that there's just the velocity was down in summer camp and something seems off. And Brian Snitker said after the game last night, quote, after the last couple of outings in spring training or summer camp, we wanted to give it a go here and it was the same. We didn't see enough increase in velocity. That's who he's been. That's been a stuff guy for the entire time we've had him. The stuff hasn't been there. And that's what he's saying, that the stuff he's supposed to have just hasn't been there, and they had to move on. They don't have time. If this was a regular season, 162 games, they might be able to work through it or send him to AAA. They don't have that luxury now.
And they don't have the option. He is out of options, so they can't option him. And obviously there is no AAA, even if you could option him. But I still think that's a drastic move.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was a year and a half ago, they were talking about what his next contract was going to look like and that wanting to keep him long-term and have him be a part of this rotation for a while, and now it's coming to an end. It's sad because he's somebody that I really liked and was a part of that rebuild of acquiring the young pitching talent, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked.
You know what else they need to fix, your Bravos?
What's that?
They're whiffs, man. They are a whiffing machine, that team.
Good grief.
They are a bunch of whiffers. The first game of the season, they lose 1-0 to the Mets. They had 15 strikeouts. They get clocked by Tampa last night, 14-5. They had 19 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. 19 strikeouts. The starter for the Rays, Glasnow, had 9 strikeouts. He pitched 4 innings.
Yep.
They had a reliever come in. What was his name? Beeks, I believe. He pitched 3 innings, 7 strikeouts. They had 16 strikeouts from two pitchers that pitched 4 and 3 innings. 19 and 15.
That's a lot of Ks.
Two games of how many? How many have they played? 4?
Yep.
2 of the 4 games they've struck out 15 and 19 times.
Oh, I know. It's concerning because that's a good lineup. I mean, that's especially 1 through 6. I mean, that's solid right there. And then, you know, you have some other players that are maybe better defensively, but they can get you some hits. That is not encouraging, those numbers of strikeouts. And again, you can say, well, it's 4 games in, but they don't have that luxury. You could say that in a regular season, but you can't say that in 60 games. They got to get it going, because the teams that get it going the quickest are going to be the ones that, even with an expanded playoff, they're going to be the ones to really watch. So, yeah, I'm totally concerned about that, being a whiffing machine.
Golly. Oof. 2 walks. That's it.
Yeah, got to have some discipline up there.
Freeman took one. Carte took one. That's it. 2 walks. 19 strikeouts. Holy moly.
I'll tell you right now, though, the Rays are really good.
They look really good.
They are really good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to, especially this early, to say, you know, oh, that team right there, or that team right there, but watching the Rays over the weekend, because I'm sure, like you guys, I did watch a lot of baseball. I mean, there was a lot of baseball on wherever we were, and they were a team that I was paying attention to. And then obviously last night, listening to the game on my way home, they're talented. So we'll see how.
I don't
know
how. I mean, we could do a trivia right now, and I don't think there's any doubt that we could get calls and people couldn't name 3 people on that team.
Yeah, I don't know that roster.
I'm not sure you could do 2.
On the Rays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Well, there was one that was in the news.
Well I know. Besides, I'm talking about Blake Snell. Okay, yeah,
and
Blake Snell.
He's one of Cy Young.
Give 3. Give 3 players for the Rays. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Joe Fan.
Okay.
I'm not talking about you, nerd fantasy baseball guy. I'm talking about Joe Fan couldn't name 3 guys on the Rays roster.
Yeah,
that is their approach, right? They have done it with it.
They have the openers.
Now, if you read the prospect lists and stuff, it's riddled with guys like that. And guys that they've traded for, the 2 guys you just mentioned that struck out all the batters, those are guys that they traded for before they became known. They were minor leaguers that were prospects that other teams were willing to give up on for immediate help.
They
got Glasnow for Chris Archer, right?
Yep.
That was one. And Beeks, they got in a trade with the Red Sox. I'm trying to think of who they traded to the Sox. But, you know, now those guys have grown up, and those are good pitchers. And, it's, you know, they just have tons of depth. That's the thing.
Nobody knows that, though. I mean, if you say Jalen Beeks,
I agree.
They're like, is that a character on Sesame Street? I mean, nobody has a clue. It's a relief pitcher.
Joey Wendell. The only reason I know Joey Wendell is because he played for the Sounds.
Yeah, he's turned into a great player. He was a Sound.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at their roster.
Tommy Pham's yeah, another guy they traded for. Somebody was done with him, and he's come over and become a star.
He's legit. He didn't even play last night.
Yeah,
he's in San Diego. Tommy Pham is.
Oh, that's right.
They traded
right.
for Hunter yeah. Renfro.
Oh, Hunter Renfro. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. right. That's yeah. right.
Not yeah. to be confused with Oakland Raiders.
Mississippi State.
Yep. But Charlie Morton.
Mississippi State, Hunter Renfro.
Charlie Morton's a name that, yeah. I mean, a name-ish.
But that's what I'm just getting at. Like, we have to sit here. I mean, like, nobody can name three guys off their roster, and they're pretty darn good. They're probably going to make some serious noise, and nobody has a clue who they are.
Yeah.
Good for them. Rays have always been able to figure that out. They've always been. I mean, I think there's a. You could make the case they're better than the A's. You know, small market team, low payroll. Sure. They're better than what the A's have done over the years.
Well, I mean this roster. I mean it's a young, talented roster that'll look good here in Nashville in about 3 or 4 years. So, I'm happy.
So you think
about
that's how it happens?
I think it could. So I feel like the
A's become the stars.
If you gave that team a great fan base, they would do the rest. They have a tremendous ability to evaluate talent and draft. They've done such a great job there. I agree with you guys. The A's and the Rays, they'll be in the playoffs.
And I like
their manager. The Rays, remember, took the Astros to the final game last year. They got to game five. You know, they were one game away from eliminating the Astros.
Yeah, and I listened to an interview that they did with their manager, Kevin Cash, last night. And I was very impressed with him because I appreciate a manager, especially in these times, that's going to not give you all the trade secrets, but take you through the decision-making process and how they get to a certain point and explain things to you. Brian Snitker is really good about that. Here and now, you know, I think John Hines is good about that, but Kevin Cash is one of those that I could tell listening to him last night, I was impressed with him.
I mean, it's just a credit to them. Look at the Braves roster and look at their roster. I mean, it's
sure.
it's night and day. And, you know, they just mopped Atlanta last night. It's one game. I get it. But that's just a credit to what the Rays are doing. Like, nobody has a clue about these guys. And you look up and down the Braves roster, and it's just littered with incredible talent. And, you know, the Rays, I'm not saying they're going to be better than the Braves this year because I still think the Braves will get it turned around and they'll get going. They're just too good,
sure.
not to. But I mean, think about the Rays and the A's. Look at their rosters, and they were playoff teams last year, and they're going to be playoff teams again this year.
Yeah, no, I think so too. So, and you know, it was fun driving through Atlanta, flipping around the dial, listening to the different sports talk shows. You know, talk about the Braves. Obviously, they're getting into the Falcons and you know the Hawks, but the Braves were. We're at the top of the conversation list just because they're playing right now, and there's a lot of hype with that team. I mean, especially in a 60-game season. So we'll see. I hope they turn it around. Hey, your Mets don't look half bad, Willie. And then Darren, to be honest with you, I didn't really get to watch the Indians much. I didn't see them as much.
But. The Indians have got some players that people don't really know about that are really, really good. You know, that Bieber. He is an ace. I mean, he's not just good. He is really good.
Did he strike out like 14 or 15 in his start?
Yeah. He is something. And the Mets are one pitch away from looking pretty good, but they had the painful reminder of Edwin Diaz's issues last year. 15 home runs given up all in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
He had a perfect ninth. Not perfect, but he got the job done the first game. And of course, they're up 2-1. They have no margin for error at all, and so he's got to be perfect. But that's what you pay the big time closer to do. And he gave up. You know, I was the same guy. He struck out to end the game the day before. Hits a home run opposite field to tie it, and they lose in the brand new extra inning rule. So that brings up a question: do you guys like the rule? The Pirates and Brewers played one of those games last night. Are you coming around on it at all? How do you feel about it right now?
I didn't bring this up yesterday. We played our first extra inning game Saturday in pool play. We had a heartbreaking loss to the team that we would turn around and lose on Sunday in the championship game too. That was the first time since we've been in travel ball we've played an extra inning game, and we were the home team. So they started with the runner. I was like, wait, what's going? And I was like, oh, we do. So that was the first time I experienced it.
Second?
Yeah, And, you know, since we lost, I don't like the rule at all. I hate it. But, no, that was the first time I actually got to be a part of it. I mean,
it's
I don't know at our
it's
level.
Growing on me.
At our level, I guess what I'm getting, I don't know why we need to do that at our level. I mean, you know, it's
for timing. It's to get the game over with so the next game can start and you don't get way behind.
But we're
going to
score. We're going to score runs at 8U. I mean, the score at the time was, I guess, 12-12 going into extras, 13-13 going into extras, something. I mean, we're going to score runs. I mean, rarely at 8U do you see really, you know, you see low-scoring games. Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't, at our level, I don't really understand it. But, I mean, I don't have an issue with it. I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek kidding. We lost, so I hate it. But I don't really think one way or the other than I just don't think we need it at our level. At the big level, I'm okay with it right now. Let's just keep saying what we've been saying. Let's watch it some more and form an opinion after we've seen it, you know.
Yeah, and watching over the weekend, my team won a game, you know, using it. So that's one way I can look at it. And then,
well, that's the first time I've ever seen it, right? That was the game that Diaz gave up the home run.
Yep.
And then they go to the 10th, and Dansby Swanson is the first guy up with the man on second. It's 0-2, and he finds a way to get a base hit up the middle.
Yeah.
And the Braves end up scoring 3. Swanson was actually trying, you could see when he was up, he was trying to just hit a grounder to the right side.
Yeah.
The first two strikes, and he got into the hole 0-2. So they were sort of, you know, there's a lot of talk of, you know, our team's going to actually bunt and try to get the guy to third with one out. He didn't, but he was clearly trying to just advance the runner by hitting it to the right side. He failed to do that, and then he got a hit, and they end up scoring 3. But the Mets did get the bases loaded with no outs in the bottom of the inning. So it does create stuff. It creates action right away. And for obvious reasons, but it is exciting. I still don't like it. And I think, Darren, it is going to avoid what you have wanted to avoid for a long time, the games that go 15 or 16 innings. So it will be interesting at the end of the season if they decide to keep it going. I think I would be for, like, hockey. Regular season, I'm all right with it. Postseason, no.
Yeah, I agree with that. And how I would tweak it, I understand doing it as is in a 60-game season, but in a regular season back at 162, how I would tweak it is play the 10th inning as is, like normal. Just play the 10th inning as an extra inning. And then after that, then you can apply, you know, figure out, okay, the 11th or whatever, then add the runner at second. Do like, you know, in college football, how you have a couple of overtimes, and then if it goes to a third, then you have to go for 2. You know, kind of add something to it. That's how I would tweak it for the regular season. You're still avoiding the 15, 16 extra inning games, but maybe try and settle it like normal in the 10th and just, you know, tweak it from there. But it is growing on me.
I don't want to see it. Do you put off the inept? Do it in the 10th. I don't want to wait another inning. I've said it for over a decade. You don't need to. People just, especially now, just game 87 doesn't need to go 4 hours and 19 minutes. I mean, people just don't have the time to do that on a Thursday night anymore. They just don't, and they're not going to, and they're going to leave, and so there's no point in it. So I say do it right away, but I still want to see it. I'm probably not going to have a problem with it because I'm more apt to change, because change is inevitable in life. That's how it works. Nothing stays the same, so I'm probably going to be on the side of them doing this, but I still want to see it some more just to get used to it and see what I think truly before I form a really strong opinion one way or the other. But we'll get our chance this season, yeah. Hopefully. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Hey, fellas. First of all, I can't wait for hockey to get going again this week.
Well, we're with you on that.
Games today.
Willie, this is kind of an outside-the-box question for you. Do you ever stay in touch with any of your old teammates from Medicine Hat, and if so, whatever became of those guys?
Yeah, a couple guys made it to the big leagues. Almost all of them would not be players that you would have heard of. A lot of them just cups of coffee, but I do keep in touch with a cross section of them. There's a Facebook page that a lot of us are on, so we keep track of each other that way. There's only one, my roommate, I've kept in close contact with for pretty much the whole time. I try to see him when we're on the road up his way. He's from Boston. And then other guys that pass through town every now and then, and I see them. It's a really interesting slice of life, right? All those players, where they come from, all the different places. But Facebook is a great thing for a network like that.
No, for sure. Yeah. Hey, and just for your guys' information, because I know you're going to want to set your DVRs, but Tour de France is going to start towards the end of August. Hopefully, I'll be watching hockey more than the Tour de France, but they're going to run it.
Wow. They still do that? Cool. I thought they shut that down after Lance Armstrong. They still do that.
Pretty much. Nobody's paying attention.
You know what? After all these documentaries that have been done on Lance Armstrong, I do wonder, now that we're several years removed from the whole, all the scandals, what is the status in terms of how under control do they have the performance-enhancing stuff? Or is it still just as much as it's always been? And then, of course, with this year, I would be curious, you know how crazy those fans are out there. It's unbelievable how they just sit there for hours for the bikers to come by, and they're right up on them in some places, right? There's no social distancing at all. So I wonder what that's going to look like.
Well, they you know, each stage is spread out over like 100 miles. So it's,
yeah, but you still see these huge clusters of people sometimes.
Yeah, but they'll have to shut down like the mountain stages where you see all those hundreds of people, you know, crowding right in, right up next to the riders. They're going to have to do something about that. But I think they've cleaned it up pretty well. Probably the reason you don't hear anything about it anymore is because there's no real prominent American racers.
Right. I do wonder if there'll ever be, or when the next American rider will be that gets people's attention. That will be an interesting story someday when that happens. Yeah. If somebody could get to that point.
Yeah.
It would be nice. Thank you for the call, Bicycle Boy. We will take a break. By the way, the baseball ratings over the weekend nationally were very good, as expected. We will come back. There's some guys opting out in the NFL. We'll discuss that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Players are reporting to the facility today in the NFL training camp. Patriots, Dante Hightower, a name I know very well in these parts, has opted out for the 2020 season for the New England Patriots. Dante Hightower telling New England that he is out for this upcoming season. He also joins running back Brandon Bolden, who has also told Bill Belichick he is out. Starting offensive tackle Marcus Cannon has told Bill Belichick and the Patriots he's out. Fullback Danny Vitale has said, I'm out. And there's a reserve offensive lineman, Najee Torin. So five players for the Patriots have opted out. Don't forget, a team that we know lost Tom Brady, a team that lost Kyle Van Noy, a team that lost Jamie Collins. There are a lot of departures on New England. If they find a way to still win that division this year, the rest of that division should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. I don't know how in the world New England is going to stay at this level. I get it. They've done it for two decades. Who am I? Who are we to question New England and the success of Bill Belichick? But with all this being said, if they still find a way to get in the playoffs with this roster, I think we're going to have launch another investigation. Something's going on that we don't know about.
Well, there is another slot, so it's a little easier to get into the playoffs because there is one more spot available. But those guys aren't the only players opting out. There are a handful that are coming around in the NFL.
I saw Chance Warmack, former Titan, has opted out.
I did see his name on there, yes. The Ravens had a couple of guys. So I guess Andre Smith from the Ravens, remember the former Alabama? Is that the former Alabama offensive tackle, first-round pick?
I believe so, yeah.
I remember watching him play at Vanderbilt. He's 33 now. Golly, I can't believe he's 33.
He's a huge guy.
I'll never forget how much fun they made of him. He was holding out.
Yes.
In the
Bengals hard knocks, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They made so much fun of him because there was clips on the show of him working out by his
no shirt.
And you know, he had a trainer there, and they were making fun of him and the trainer in the skit night. So there's going to be some guys opt out. My question would be, will there be any noteworthy Titans that opt out?
I think it's a very valid question. I mean, and today is report day. So you had rookies and rookies report yesterday, and I think quarterbacks, but everybody else, today's the day across the league. And I do like that they've kind of made it universal. Some of the teams, like the Texans and the Chiefs, they could report a little earlier because they'll play earlier to start the season. But I do like that it's kind of uniformed across the league. But it's a good question. I don't know. I haven't seen – I've been kind of keeping an eye on Twitter – on if there's any news of that, but it's something to definitely monitor as the day goes on.
DeAnthony Thomas is another Baltimore Ravens player, wide receiver / return guy. That was the guy out of Oregon, right? So he is also opted out from the Ravens. So Andre Smith and DeAnthony Thomas out for the Ravens. And you're right, this is kind of the week. I think we will learn of if there's going to be other guys opting out, which I suspect there will be, and will there be any right here with the Tennessee Titans? I mean, I wonder what's going on in New England. I mean, doesn't that seem like that's a pretty significant amount, right? Five guys?
Significance of Hightower is the biggest headline there.
Did you mention Patrick Chung as a part of that?
No.
He's one too, so add him to the list.
Did that just happen?
I guess, yeah. I ESPN has a running list on their website, and I didn't see him earlier, and now he's on there.
Wow, so that would make six.
Yeah, and that's another pretty significant.
That must have just happened.
I don't see.
Yeah,
a text. Because I don't see it on the first release that they put out there.
This is a running list that ESPN has. And they have him at the top of the list.
Chung as well?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Like I said, if they could pull this off this year, I think the league has got to launch another investigation. I don't know how in the world they can pull the rabbit out of the hat on this one. I mean, they're just, at some point, you can't keep doing this at this level. Like, you can only sustain so many losses. And, oh, by the way, we've never seen it without Tom Brady under center, right? So, and there's that whole big thing. And
yeah,
I get it.
That's kind of important.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, they've only done it with Tom Brady, with TB12 under center. So, I don't know. I just can't imagine.
Too, I think we just have to, based on what's happened with the Marlins too, football is full steam ahead. I heard Adam Schefter today saying, you know, they're not blinking an eye. They're going to move forward. But I just think we have to come to expect there will be little clusters of players testing positive. For example, remember the big headline, Darren, you and I were at Bridgestone Arena on opening day. We were all excited for baseball, and then boom, right as we're about to go off the air, Juan Soto, it's reported, can't play. He's tested positive. Well, Juan Soto, since then, this has comes from Bob Nightingale, who we had on our show a couple times during this break. He's tested six different times negative, three by the team, three by the league, but he doesn't have back-to-back tests. Now, I don't know what that means. Like, how many times has he been tested? But that's – so the testing part of this is so essential to try to get accuracy from the tests. But it's like – If you are that diligent about testing, you have to expect you're just going to get some tests that come back positive. You're probably going to get some false positives. You might even get some false negatives, but you have to do it. So I just think you have to be prepared for these things to continue to happen sometimes and for people to opt out.
Yeah, I mean, every team is going to be well, I'm not going to say every team, but every team knows that they potentially could be faced with that, and that's just that's what you're going to have to deal with. So Nate texted in, and he says, is there anyone in particular that has a legit chance of opting out for the Titans you're concerned about? Like maybe Lawan, because he probably would be considered high risk. Obviously a newborn. He and his wife just had another baby, so I assume that's what he's alluding to. I don't see him opting out. I don't really have him on my list of potential opt-outs, but I don't know if I have a really good answer either. Because, I don't know what these guys are thinking.
Well, I think, and Chase, you missed this. It was an interesting conversation we had with Randy Wheel, whose son Xander is playing in the Minnesota Twins camp. He's on the 60-man roster, but he was also talking about his experiences coaching basketball overseas, right? And American players who play over there, you know, it's very commonplace for players to be separated from their families for months at a time. It's like somebody in the military. He was making that kind of connection. And this is your livelihood. And so that is, I think it's a perfectly legitimate decision if you want to sit out, for sure. But I'm sure you're conflicted, right, between wanting to spend time with your family, which you should, and also wanting to be there for your team. So I wonder, too, if some football players will have to quarantine themselves from their families for at least, you know, take drastic measures, right, to keep yourself separate from your family within your own house or something, however you want to do it. But I think that's something you have to think about, right, if you're going to go through with this, because you are going to be at a higher risk of picking up the virus. Then the question right. is, do you know you have it? You know, can you avoid spreading it? That's what we're all dealing with, right? But definitely the football players have to.
ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese has put out that Patrick Chung has opted out. Patriots safety, so Patrick Chung out. Tells me he plans to opt out. He's
Holy
the sixth player.
Moly. So they're starting safety.
Boy, that
they're
defense.
Starting linebacker. They're starting right tackle. All opting out. Oof.
And they had lost some guys off that defense that was number one in the league last year to free agency as well.
That's what I said. Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they, like I said, if the Bills don't win this division now, man, Buffalo needs to move to Toronto. Toronto moved to Buffalo. Buffalo needs to move to Toronto. That's what needs to happen. The Bills need to become the Toronto Bills or something. I mean, if you can't get it done in this division, everybody already loves your team to begin with. If you can't get it done with all this being said about the Patriots, then when are you ever going to get it done, Buffalo? Buffalo, you're on the clock. All eyes are on you. It is your division to win. They are absolutely going to be the favorite, and they should be. So now we'll find out how they handle the pressure, and can they actually do it?
Trevor Lawrence going to look good in Patriots colors after this season.
So you think that's what's happening? You think that's what they're going to do?
I mean, I
would you
don't know
put it past them? No.
No. And I wouldn't put it past if they had a conversation with Belichick and he's sitting there going, okay, this actually isn't a bad idea. Anybody else want to opt out? Hey, you, McCourty twins, you guys, take
you guys,
the year off. You're good.
You guys want to do full-time podcast?
That's fine. We'll see you next year.
Don't worry about this year. We'll see you in 2021.
Cam, hey, I know
could
we just signed
Belichickian
you, but we're
going
to cut you.
It absolutely could be. That's why I said, could you put that past him? Heck no.
You can't.
Work
Cam
for the
Newton's,
Colts.
Cam
sure
Newton's
going
to walk in and look at his team and go, you know what? I'm going to opt out. I know I just signed here for nothing, but I'll see you guys later.
Wow. Patrick Chung, too. Man.
You know
I'm not even
going to
recognize their
guys?
Roster.
Here's something that I'm looking forward to. We made the reference to Hard Knocks. They are going to have Hard Knocks for the L.A. Chargers. Now, that would be a really good window into how a team is going to handle the whole COVID thing. I mean, I would imagine that odds are pretty good that they're going to have to deal – something will come up. Right? A guy tests positive, what are they going to do? And I wonder how transparent they'll be in showing all of that. right? That's one criticism of baseball right now. People want to know, are they being completely transparent? It's going to be very important that they are with how they're doing it. And I think they know that because this is so new, there are going to be some flaws in the testing system, right? I think guys are going to test positive one day and then turn around and test negative twice the next day. You got to have two straight negatives. I want to know more about what's going on with Juan Soto. Can you imagine having Juan sitting there ready to go, feeling great? He's tested negative six times, but not twice in a row. How does that work? Yeah, how many times has he tested?
That doesn't even make any sense. I don't understand that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe Hard Knocks will show us some stuff. That would be very compelling television, right? If they are up front and showing everybody how they're going about it.
Yeah. Former Cleveland pitcher, now Texas Rangers pitcher, Corey Kluber has tested positive, and he's going to be out at least 4 weeks. He tested positive for tearing a muscle in his shoulder. So,
I was going to say, that's
what?
Tested positive for what? Yeah,
the latest
he lasted
on
one inning.
I know. It's like, man, he was so.
One inning.
He's one of those guys that had that window, right? And that window, he was absolutely, like a four-year window, he dominated. Absolutely dominated. And I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to. It's just a slew of injuries. And you wonder if he's just going to start breaking down. Yeah, did he even make it through an inning? Did he even record an inning?
I think he got one inning.
Okay.
In the baby blue uniforms that they broke out, which are pretty sweet. I kind of like it.
I didn't recognize it at first. I was like, who is that?
Yeah. I would have gone a little more bold with the red or the blue or the navy to compliment the baby blue, but I like it. I like that they're doing that. Verlander, it was reported that he was out for the season. Then
right.
He came out strong on his social media and said, I'm not out for the season. I'll be back at some point. But time will tell.
Yeah.
Anybody got any strong feelings on some of the new uniforms, the Brewers uniform or the Padres uniform?
I don't like the Padres.
I
like
too.
The Brewers a lot.
I like the Brewers.
I like the Brewers and the Padres. Oh, you don't like the brown? I love the brown.
Well, here's the
–
I don't
going
like,
back to the roots.
I know, but I don't like the brown with the new logos. I like the brown with the old logos. Like, I like the actual throwback look of the Padres. I don't like mixing the two. And
well, they've got a bunch of them.
Even though you have to specify
which one you're talking about.
Well, true. The one – but one of the main ones that I've seen. Even though that's kind of what the Brewers have done. The Brewers have taken – their
new retro
look and kind of done the retro, but I like the color scheme of the Brewers much better than I do the old one and then what the Padres are doing. But yeah.
Jeff Passan on there right now and talking about what baseball is going to have to do. And it is interesting to see that. What does that mean with the Phillies testing, all testing? So, why wouldn't they play the game tonight? Why would they already cancel it if they've tested negative?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a fair question because there are scheduling issues. Take, for example, the Yankees and Phillies. What they're doing is you're playing four straight, two in Philadelphia, two in New York. So it will be a little tricky to make those games up if you miss two. But, you know, they had to account for this somewhere. Again, I go back to you can't panic. This is something you had to think about before. It's on you if you have not thought about what could happen if this came up. This is not a ridiculous thing to have happen, right? It's sad that it's happened this early. But you have to have a plan to make up two games if you do go ahead and cancel tonight. Just err on the side of caution and not play, I can understand that. But, you know, I think – maybe there is an argument to say that, hey, why couldn't you play tonight if there's no positive test for any of the Phillies?
I don't know.
Or is it coming from the Yankees saying we don't want to go into that clubhouse yet?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Unless they're doing like sweeping,
can you sit in the stands? Can you sit in the stands?
Sure. I mean, we're seeing it already.
That's what they're doing anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a little surprised they're not playing it.
Yeah,
and I gotta believe you have the top level people cleaning the dugouts,
right?
Right.
One would think. Real quick before we get out of this hour, I did want to say that the league NHL has put together their 31-team nominees for the Keen Clancy Memorial Trophy, which is, of course, the player that best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice. Of course, is noteworthy of a humanitarian contribution in his community. And for the Nashville Predators, no surprise. Look, there's a lot of worthy candidates on the Predators roster, but Pecorine is, of course, the nominee for the Preds. So, that, like I said, no surprise there. There's a lot of good candidates in that room, but congratulations to Pekka for being nominated for the Keen Clancy Memorial Trophy. I saw where PK was nominated for the Devils. Arizona, opponent for the Predators, is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. The Dallas Stars, the exhibition game will be this Thursday. It was Tyler Seguin. And speaking of that, we will talk about the Dallas Stars. The Predators, by the way, there's going to be exhibition games today. You can watch them on NBC Sports Network and I believe the NHL Network. You're going to be able to see some of these exhibition games. I think Pittsburgh and Philadelphia start after we get off the air.
3 o'clock.
Today, tomorrow, and Thursday will be the Predators exhibition game. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Stars. Sean Shapiro, who covers the Stars for The Athletic. We will talk to Sean to start the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.